Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, as we go through the Word of God, from Genesis through Revelation, we find mankind being compared to so many different objects that we see every day in life. Man has been compared to builders. Man has been compared to sheep. He has been compared to branches, the salt, the light, the withering grass and fading flowers. And as we have just read the first psalm, we find here that man is now being compared to a tree. You know, Christians are like trees. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? We are like trees. David says that he shall be planted like a tree by the rivers of life. Who shall be like a tree? Those whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, if we delight in God, if we delight in His Word, we will be planted, firmly secured by God in life. Godly people who stay away from worldly things, people who love and serve the Lord, are planted people. And tonight, I want us to look at some of the ways that God's people are like trees in the fact that we are planted solidly and firmly in the love of God. First of all, I want to suggest to you that a tree is indeed a planted thing. It is planted, in, of course, in this passage, is planted by the river of water. It is, in other words, it has been put in a specific place where it can grow and flourish and do the most good. You know, we are like that as Christians. We have actually been planted. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now basically what Paul is telling us is that when we were baptized into Christ, we were planted. Just like the tree that is planted, we now have roots in Christ. We have become strong. We have become firm in our faith in our Lord. Therefore, we should live our lives as a planted object for God, strong and secure, never yielding, never giving in to the sin that can so easily beset us. We have become a planted thing. And this is what David is telling us in Psalm chapter 1. Not only are we a planted thing, we are also a rooted thing. any of you ever tried to remove a tree root? Now, I'm not talking about wind blowing over a tree, and I'm not talking about getting a dozer in to push a tree over. That's a lot easier. But have you ever tried to take a root where the tree has already been moved and cut and try to move that root or that stump? I remember, and this hasn't been, well, I guess we had already moved down here. I don't know for sure. My daddy had an old cherry tree in our backyard. Wind got under that thing, and it was an old tree, and it blew down. And it had a stump standing up about this high. My daddy dug and dug and dug and dug and could not get that trunk out. So we decided, well, I'm going to burn it. So one night we burned that tree, and it was kind of fun because we grabbed marshmallows and weenies, and we had a roast standing in the, because the tree was hollow on the inside. And oh, that top part of that tree, it just burned so nice, and we had such a good time. And when all was said and done, that root was still there. And I don't know how he got it out. He got it out. I don't know how. But it did have a little help, because before he moved to this house, the tree was there, and someone had put you know what a grater blade is? It's a big piece of metal. Someone had put it right beside that tree, and that tree had grown around that thing. So that didn't help matters any at all. That root was not going to come out. Like I say, I don't know how he got it out, but it was very, very difficult. You know, most trees are so deeply rooted, it's almost impossible to get it out, at least with a shovel and a spade. Most of the time, you have to bring in a bulldozer or some other piece of heavy equipment. I know when we built our house back in Alabama, I had actually had over 100 pine trees cut to make room to build my house on my property. I didn't even try to get those roots out of the ground. I just brought a guy in to chew them up to ground level. That was so much easier, because those roots were really hard to get out. Even a pine tree, which is a soft-rooted tree, is hard to get out. Some tree roots run deep and they run long, and they are very, very strong. Now, we are told through Scripture that we are to be as solid and as rooted and as strong as a tree. Now, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So Paul is telling us basically, look, I want you to be like the root of a tree. I want you to be so deep. I want you to be so grounded. I want you to be so firm that Satan can't come along and just you over. You have to be able to withstand all of the wily ways of the devil. You have to withstand all of the sin that Paul says that can so easily beset us, and it can. So we have to be very strong, always firm and never wavering, a faith that literally cannot be moved. You know, when you first plant a tree, however, it is not very strong. In fact, you'll find that you generally have to tie it with strings so it will grow straight and the roots can grow down, and it takes time for a young tree to become rooted. You know, by the same token, it takes a time for a person to become established in their faith. One of the greatest errors that we make in the church today is we baptize someone into Christ and immediately think they should be as strong and as solid and just as faithful as we are. And being young Christians, they're likely to make a mistake, and we don't accept that. Once you're baptized, you ought to be equal to us in every way as far as your strength and faith is concerned. And friend, that's not true. A young Christian has to learn. A young Christian has to grow. A young Christian is going to make more mistakes than we would make as a child of God, or at least it should work that way. So we have to give our young Christians time You know, the Hebrew writer tells us that there is a time for milk, a time that we can be weak, that we can entertain growth, but there also comes a time when we need to move on to something more strong. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. For though by this time, and he's fussing with some people here who have not moved from milk to meat. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. In other words, friends, we should be strong. We should be on the meat of the word and not on the milk. Our faith should be at a greater level than that of a just born again Christian. We should be able to fight off sin better than they can. And help them to grow. Help them to learn. Help them to become stronger and root themselves deeper where they can do the very same thing. A tree starts out with almost no root. But then it takes hold of the earth and stands on its own. And it can then withstand the elements of nature. Christian starts out as a babe in Christ, and he needs that help. He needs to gain strength along the way. But as he grows, his faith begins to grab on. And when this happens, he can begin to stand up against the things that he must face as a Christian, things that go wrong in life, the temptations of Satan. And at the same time, he can help strengthen others who may be actually weaker than him. But he has to start out with a little root, and he has to grow, and we have to help him grow. A tree, and this brings us to the next point, a tree is indeed a growing thing. You know, the psalmist said that this tree that he is talking about, and he's really talking about us, is planted by the rivers of water. What he meant by this, that it has been put in a place of nourishment. A place where there is water. A place where it can dig deep and find root and grow. I have been told that people who make a living at finding wells for people will find a stand of trees. Because trees have to have a lot of water to grow and to flourish. And I did a little research on this. This afternoon when I was putting this together. The average tree, now get this, the average size tree can absorb more than 50 gallons of water a day. That's a lot of water, isn't it? Yeah. Now, listen to this. A large oak tree, and when you go out, if you look in my backyard, you will see a very large oak tree. A very large oak tree will consume 15 gallons of water an hour on a hot day. Now, you do the math for that one. That's a lot of water, isn't it? So trees need a lot of water to nourish itself and to continue to grow. Honestly, the droughts that we have here in the heat of our summers, I don't see how trees survive it because they do demand so much of water from nature. The natural law demands that a tree grow, that it spreads its branches, that it deepens its roots, and that it bears fruit. The law of God also demands the very same things from us. We must grow. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, we are to desire the pure milk of the Word, that we may grow, that we may do what the people that the Hebrew writer was talking about hadn't done, that we hadn't moved on. They had not moved on to solid food. They had not deepened their roots. Peter says, look, you need the milk to begin with, and that milk will help you strengthen yourself so that you can grow, so that you can become stronger, so that you can become deeper rooted as a child of God. Why do we begin teaching children at a very early age about God? Why do we spend time and money on our teaching program here to see to it that our children understand God and His Word? Why do we do all of these things? It's because of milk. They need milk. They need to be able to grow. A child couldn't come in here into our Bible classes and even into assemblies like this and understand what is going on because they're not yet at that level. We need to bring them to that level. Peter says we need to desire it, the milk. We need to want it. And we need it to grow. You know, you have to be careful where you plant trees as well. Because some trees will not grow in some places. For example, you couldn't take a peach tree that grows down here and take it up north. It could not stand the cold. Now, in the area that Pat and I come from, we're almost on the line to where you can have peaches and you can't have peaches. Because when peaches up there will start to bloom around the 1st of March. Folks, we still have freezing weather long after the 1st of March. And sometimes it'll kill every peach tree up there. And some years we don't have peaches in North Alabama because the weather will not allow it. And then some years when we don't have the coolness or the hard freezes, we have peaches galore. So you have a 50-50 chance at peaches in North Alabama. We don't have to worry about that down here. As of today, probably we won't have to worry about freeze anymore. You can't take a peach tree up north and expect it to make peaches. You can't take a tree that has to have a lot of water and move it to the desert. It is going to burn up and die because it has to have that nourishment. Now, there are trees that don't have to have that much water, and they do fine in the dry heat. But most trees simply cannot. It's the wrong environment. And my friends, you can't take a Christian and put him in the devil's world by himself and expect him to survive and to grow. That's why we come together on occasions like this, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to help each other grow as a unit of God's people. You know, Paul said, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Some of our young people often wonder why we don't let them go to certain places and why we don't let them do certain things. We know why, don't we? Because it's a bad environment. Bad things can happen. And we don't want bad things to happen to our children. So we keep them away. We shelter them and we explain to them why we are sheltering them so that they will know and understand they will not want to go there either. The Christian needs the right kind of environment to grow because we are a growing thing. And then, as I have also stated already, a tree is a fruitful thing. The fruit tree is expected to bear fruit. When we moved into our house in Alabama, the first thing I wanted to do was put in trees because there was no trees in our lot. So I put in about 3 or 4 maple trees, and I wanted fruit, so I put in a Bradford pear tree. You know there's something unique about a Bradford pear tree? They don't grow fruit. And I didn't know that for a few years. That tree now is huge, is humongous. It is one of the most beautiful trees I have ever seen, and it makes the most beautiful foliage in the summertime. It is so green and beautiful, and it never gives a piece of fruit. Fruit trees are expected to bear fruit. The reason that they're there. Christians are expected to bear fruit. it is our purpose. It is our reason for working in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Do you know what he's talking about here? He's really not talking about trees. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. We must bear fruit as children of God, or else we will be cast out and burned. It is so important that we understand that if we do not abide in Christ, if we do not bear fruit, we will be thrown into the fire and burned. That's the penalty for not bearing fruit. Every one of us in this room who is a New Testament Christian are fruit bearers. Let me rephrase that. Every born-again Christian in this room should be fruit bearers. And I guess the question that I have for you tonight is, are you a fruit tree? Do you bear fruit for your Heavenly Father? You know, there are so many ways that Christians should be like trees. We should be strong. We should be rugged. We should be standing tall. But you know, not all trees are this way. Some trees are not healthy. Some trees are choked with vines. Some trees have parasites growing on them, especially pine trees. Some have things that slowly cause them to wither and die. Jesus tells us a parable of a man who sowed some seed. Some, he said, fell by the wayside. Some, he said, fell upon a rock. Some, he said, fell among thorns. And some, he said, fell among good ground. And then he explained that parable when his disciples said, we don't understand what you're saying. He said, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, but in time of temptation, they fall away. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and they are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and never bring fruit to maturity. The ones that fall on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, my friends, in closing this lesson, I have just described you. You are one of these four kinds of soils, or you are the tree that is sitting or standing on one of these type of soils. Where is your fruit tree? Is it by the wayside? Is it among the rocks? Is it among the thorns? Then all of these things that can come in and stop your growth and stop your root system and keep you from standing strong for God? I do hope not. I hope that you are standing on good ground. I hope that you are rooted deeply and strong in the Word of God. Tonight, it may be that you realize that you're not as rooted as you should be. Change that. You can make the effort to go the other way. You can make the effort to root yourself deeply and strongly for the Lord. And we want to give you that opportunity. You've never obeyed the gospel. We want to give you the opportunity to do that so that you can grow. And begin a root system that can go deep and strong and stand against the ways of sin. So tonight, think about the tree. And think about your relationship to God as the tree has its relationship with the ground. And if you need to respond to this invitation, please come while we stand and sing.